What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, if Christ is in you, you will be a new creation. You will love the things God loves. You'll hate the things He hates. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm just grateful to be here today. Thank you for... Lord, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, for this time we get to be together today, Lord. Hallelujah. A little taste of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul. It's been an amazing journey. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we haven't been alone in this journey? I feel for the people of the world who don't know Jesus, you know. They're just trying to wing it, just trying to make it on their own. And how many have said that before? I don't know where I'd be today without Jesus, you know. I don't want to think about it. I know where I was heading. That's why you must repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, you know. Got to turn away from sin, turn away from the world, and run to Jesus, the only one that can save you. Amen. Give your life fully. Surrender your life to Him. You want an abundant life? Give up your life. You'll find it in Him. Hallelujah. Because He came that we might have what? Life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Well, I've got some really good news. Is that okay? There's lots of bad news, isn't there? Crazy world we're living in. But we're not looking at that, right, man? We're not dwelling on all that. Let's find out what God is doing. That's always good. And keep your mind in heaven. Amen. Stayed upon Him. He's your peace. I'm going to give you the final tally here on the offering we took last week for Peace Church in the Philippines. And I just want to tell you that it's pretty amazing. You probably say, well, what is it? What we're going to do is Judy and probably Wayne or somebody go back and just kind of make sure if there's any offerings that came in this morning towards that we're going to bring it and put it together. And then we're going to share before we leave today what we were able to raise for the Peace Church, for the building project. Let me say, we've got the roof covered and then some, okay? So praise God. Yeah. And it's because, you know, of God's people too. They have a heart to give. And, you know, I said this to somebody recently that, you know, often people that have the least are the most appreciative, you know, when they don't have a lot and you bless them, they appreciate it. You know, they don't have an entitlement mentality as some do here in America. Not that everybody does, but some do. But how many know we should be grateful for everything? Oh, yeah. Amen. And God is trying to teach us how to trust Him. In the trials, the things that you're experiencing right now are preparing you for the future. God wants strength and stability in His people. And if we're overcoming in the little things, we'll be able to overcome in the bigger things. Amen. And it's a momentary light affliction. All right. Sometimes it doesn't feel so momentary or so light. But when Paul said that, you have to take a look at his life and say, now that was a difficult life there. Amen. That was no sugar coating. That was no, limp wrist Christianity there. Amen. No soft Christianity, no soft serve. Paul was the real deal. Amen. He endured, he suffered a lot for the sake of the gospel. But because of the love of God in him, he was motivated by the love of God. Nothing would deter him from finishing his course with joy. You know, he could say at the end of his life, I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. Amen. And now laid up for me is a crown of righteousness that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. So we're looking forward to the day when we see Jesus. How many want to see Jesus in that day say, well done? You want to hear him say that? Amen. So as he was in this world, so are we. We want to be like Him. We want to grow up and be like Him. Amen?
Amen.
In every area. Praise God. You know, the role of a father is so important, isn't it? You know, we have a heavenly Father. We have a perfect Father in heaven. And He's the one we want to model. Amen? After. We want to live our lives according to Him. And if you're looking for a perfect example of a father in the world, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it on earth, right? But we do have a perfect Father, a heavenly Father, and He's the Father of our spirits. But those who walk in the ways of the Lord make the best fathers, make the best dads. And one of the biggest challenges in our society today is the lack of fatherhood. And I don't know if you've paid attention to the news recently of all the flash mobs of teenagers by the thousands running amok, you know, terrorizing, stealing, vandalizing our streets, public parks, even stores and shopping malls. And in some cases, the numbers are in the thousands. The question is, where are the fathers? Where are the parents? How are they allowed to just run amok like that? You see, we have a problem, don't we, in this nation? A breakdown of the family. God has established the family, the order. And there is a certain order to how a family should be run. Amen? And I would guess that the Creator of all things knows better than the creation how to run things. So we would be wise if we would listen to the voice of the Lord, amen, our Creator, as He gives us His instructions. The Bible says, do not be wise in your own eyes, in your own understanding, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. God gives us instruction. Aren't you glad we have basic instructions before leaving earth, right? And the devil, you know, has for years, he's blurred the lines of genders, you know, gender differences. And in America, started out with that modern feminist movement. Some of you remember when that started taking off. I believe it was like in the 50s and 60s. And but it's morphed from there. It wasn't necessarily all bad. Some of the, you know, the initial ideas were like just not the women would not be oppressed. But then it's morphed into what it is today, and it's totally unrecognizable. And the devil is slick, and so he likes to get a hold of things and pervert it. And I remember watching years ago one of these sitcoms. Who was the guy? Steve Urkel. Did I do that? All right, some of you. I know some of you more sanctified never watched that, but I had a weak moment when I watched Family Matters, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Urkel, right? So, yeah. And anyways, you know, you watch that show, it was kind of cute, you know, starting out. But then as the years went by, it started to get more corrupt. It started to become more sexual and, you know, and just innuendos and all that. And then it's like, it seems like everything that starts out innocent and fun, the enemy tries to get into that and to pervert it, you know. He just destroys everything. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He's a thief. And so one of the big issues of our day, of course, is identity crisis, you know. People are trying to figure out who they are, you know. Even I can remember back in the 70s going through high school, I was trying to figure out who I was, who I fit with, who my, you know, posse was or the people I wanted to hang out with. And so I think most of us have been there. You've been trying to explore and discover, you know, who you are and who are my people and who do I hang with and what do I like and dislike. And so often our decisions were based upon the opinions of the crowd. Amen? But not necessarily based in truth, but just on what was popular. How many have made decisions because something was popular, not necessarily good or right? You know, by the way, the title of the message this morning is The Role of the Father. The Role of the Father. And You know, a father and a husband has a very important role in the home, in the marriage. And it wasn't man's idea, but it was God's idea that there would be one man and one woman. Amen. And that we would reproduce. Amen. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And so Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. When God created the first man and woman, he made them what? Husband and wife. It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. So God instructed them to be fruitful and multiply, and he gave them dominion over the plant and animal kingdoms. God gave man dominion in the beginning, didn't he? Until the fall. So Genesis 1 gives an overall summary of the creation, and Genesis 2 gives greater detail, and it establishes the difference in gender roles. Imagine that. There's a difference. Can a man have a baby? Asked somebody recently on in Congress. They couldn't answer that. Well, let me just tell you, no. I'll answer it for you. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. The Hebrew word for helper is a counterpart or mate. So the woman is a counterpart of man, one formed from him, and a perfect resemblance of his person. Why? Because woman came out of man. She's part of man. Adam Clark said this implies that the woman was to be a perfect resemblance of the man, possessing neither inferiority nor superiority. Amen? Possessing neither inferiority nor superiority, but being in all things like and equal to himself. So women are equal in value to men, but women have different roles. Amen? Men have different roles. And God is the one who made the rules. Genesis 2:19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. In other words, he gave him a free will, a choice to be creative, to come up with his own ideas. Amen? God didn't name all the animals for him. He said, Adam, go ahead, you name them. So he said, there's a giraffe. We don't know what he's called him, but. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Amen. So he made woman, right? Woman came out of man, and then he brought them back together. That was the first marriage. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. And of course, we see in this also a picture of Christ and the church and his bride. Amen. In the Lord, we become one spirit, right? Natural first, right? And then spiritual. Okay. So the fact that Adam was alone indicates clearly that he was created first. Okay. And so because Adam was alone, God decided to make a helper suitable for him. And so this also supports Paul's teaching that the husband is the head of the wife. Now, this is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. This is God's order. And the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. Now, he said that for a reason. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. In Genesis 2 and verse 19, we see the man Adam naming all the animals. And that means he was already exercising dominion that God gave him over the plants and animals before Eve even existed. In God's order for the family, the husband is to be the head of the wife. And obviously, this statement is considered controversial by some of our modern thinkers because man is in rebellion. But this has strong biblical support. And so we're admonished in Scripture in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So this modern gender movement, backed by Satan, should I say, has worked really hard to undermine the biblical position of husband and wife and their roles in the family. Could this be part of the reason there is so much dysfunction in the home and in society? Could it? Why don't we put God's biblical model to the test and see what happens in our society? Why don't we just try it? So the Bible has much to say about leadership and leadership in the home. For example, Titus 2:4, older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive or subject to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. 1 Peter 3:1, wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. 1 Peter 3:5. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Verse 6a, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. So the holy women Peter is talking about, they lived God-centered lives. These women wanted to please the Lord in all things, and they recognized God's order in the home and were submissive to their own husbands. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to those for those who belong to the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body. So over and over again, this is reiterated in the Scripture. This is God's divine order. How many know it's a good idea to believe God and listen to him? In verse 24, it says, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Ephesians 5:33, and I know there's a such thing as abuse and things like that. No, I'm not saying you submit to that. But he's talking about a willingness to submit. You know, as the Bible says that Christ is the head of the man. Amen. And that means what we submit to the Lord. Amen. But the Lord actually calls us his brethren, too. Do you understand that? He calls us his brethren. And when we submit to the Lord, it's a cooperative effort. Amen. It's a willful cooperation. It's a choice. Amen. To submit ourselves to God. God does not force us to do so. Just like, ladies, you can choose not to submit to your husbands. Amen. But how many know there are consequences for not obeying God's order of things? And it's not that God is trying to take away, you know, anything from you or to oppress you. As God has set things in order because he knows what makes a family work and keeps a family healthy and how to have healthy children because they have the proper model established in the home. Amen. So the boys are not confused as to who's in charge here. I mean, how many know a boy needs a father? Amen. And a lot of our kids on the streets, the gangs, are a result of fatherless homes. And they're looking for that male role model. And they're unfortunately, they're finding it in the wrong places. So I want to just say this. Paul's not making a blanket statement that every man is the head of every woman. That's not what he's talking about. Nothing in the Bible teaches that. He's teaching about the establishment of the first marriage between Adam and Eve. Amen? So note, this view will be received by those, right, who believe the word of God and love the truth. And even if it means a change in thinking, so often we are influenced by our culture. We do things because they're culturally relevant or, you know, it's what we've been told. It's what we've heard, of what we've learned, often from others. And so repentance is basically changing my mind about it. Amen. I was wrong in my thinking. Amen. And I'm changing my mind about it. I'm going to start submitting myself to God now. Amen. I'm going to start listening to the voice of the Lord. How many know that your life will go a lot better if you just submit yourself to God? Amen. If you submit yourself to God, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. My responsibility is to teach the word of God and not to give you my opinion. You know, too many times we want to, we consider our opinions as truth. As the old saying says, everybody has an opinion, right? But what we need is truth, because my opinion may not necessarily be based in truth. One mark of a true follower of Jesus is that his or her worldview is shaped by what God says and not by their culture. Fathers are also responsible to instruct their children and not provoke them to anger. This is a big one. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke. That word means aggravate your children, lest they become discouraged. The word discouraged in the Greek means disheartened. A broken down spirit, and a broken spirit is fatal to youth. And the word provoke means to irritate by unreasonable commands or demands or unreasonable blame. Some fathers are just too hard on their kids. I remember when I was playing Little League years ago, and some of the kids that were on the team, their parents were there, their dad was there, and he was one of these tyrants that, like, if you didn't live up to my expectation of you on the field, you're going to get it. Seriously. Yeah. You know, so they were living under this thing, I'm going to get my butt kicked if I don't perform to the standard that my dad has set for me. That's what it's talking about here. It's provoking, right? Aggravating. Or discouraging, even by unreasonable demands, sometimes unreasonable expectations, sometimes we can place on our kids, you know, not giving them any breathing room, you know, and any grace when they fail. How many know that God has been gracious to us, amen, and our failures? The Amplified says, fathers, do not irritate or provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. So as head of the family, fathers are responsible, as we know, to provide for our families. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, I'm sure everyone here would agree, it's not easy being a godly mother or a godly dad, right? But it's not impossible. Amen. It's possible if we rely upon the Holy Spirit. We rely upon the grace of God. Amen. All things are possible, right? To them that believe. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's no excuse. The grace is there. The ability is supplied by the Spirit if we rely upon him. Amen. To live a life that honors God. Amen. And to be a good example to our families. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is so key. And in the power of his might. You know, We're not just trying to do this in our own willpower. You know, some people have very strong willpower, right? And they're able to do a lot of things just using their will. Amen? You could call it soul power, you know? But when it comes to the warfare we're engaged in, the opposition against the family, amen, against the roles, the distinctions between men and women, and our purpose, our God-given purpose, amen, the enemy is attacking. And his intent is to destroy mankind, amen? He hates us. And so we need to be wise and understand that God, the Creator, knows what's best for us, and we've got to trust Him with the way that He has established things in the home. Amen. And if things are in proper order, come on. So the children will also become healthy in their thinking and their perspectives. There are clearly gender distinctions and different God-given roles between men and women. So we need to forsake the thinking of this corrupted world system we live in and embrace what God says, because His ways are the ways of life. He is the way of life. And He wants us to have life and life to the full. He wants us to have healthy families and healthy marriages. Amen. And yeah, there's mistakes that have been made. Everybody here has made mistakes. Amen. That's why we have an advocate with the Father. That's why we can call on the Lord Jesus. Amen. We can repent. We can come to Him and we can ask the Lord to forgive us. And He does. Amen. And He cleanses us. And He wants to restore us. He wants to make every crooked place straight. Amen. He wants to redeem us. Amen. He wants to restore us back to life again. And that life is in Him. There's a part of us that rebels against the truth. That's the part of us that has to die. It's called the flesh. Amen. And sometimes when you hear the truth, your soul gets offended because that's not what you want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Amen. And people that love you will tell you the truth. Amen. Even if it's painful at times. So we love each other. We speak the truth in love. The Word of God, amen, is our authority here. It's not the opinion of a preacher or a man. Amen. It's the Word of God that is our authority. We submit ourselves to God and His Word. Amen. And He knows the product better than the product knows itself. So we just need to go with it. Amen. Say, okay, Lord, You're always right. Somebody say, Lord, You're always right. Amen. So God bless you. And thank God for godly dads. Not perfect dads, but dads, you know. And I've tried to be a good father and a good husband throughout the years Jesus and I have been together. And I have not always fulfilled that role completely or lived up to the expectations. But, you know, I thank God for the grace. Amen. That's available in Jesus. And in the times when I've blown it, I can just go to Him, not only to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I should apologize to my family too, right? We confess our faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Amen. So if you have a falling out, if you have a failure, amen, don't deny it, own it, take responsibility. Amen. That's what we do as God's people. Amen. We're not like the world that tries to, how do you plead? Not guilty. Nobody's guilty in jail, right? Come on. Well, we take responsibility. And if we will honor God by obeying His Word, submitting ourselves to His Word, He will honor us. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Amen. That it may go well with you. And that you may live long on the earth. So even children are instructed to honor their mother and their father. Amen. Because there is a promise of long life attached to that. Amen. Hallelujah. So Lord, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the instruction You give us. We want to live our lives for You, Lord. We want to be an example to the watching world around us as well. And Lord, thank You that when we fail, we can turn to You and confess our sins. And you are faithful and just to forgive us. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy today. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. Bless and keep each one of us, Lord, and your tender care. In Jesus' name. Amen.